to bear firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's eye to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me from all who shall wish me ill, afar and anear, alone and in a multitude. Against every cruel, merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ to shield me, Christ the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, I arise today.
Congregation, I invite you to stand in that very sense of truth we just heard. May Christ be all around us today and in the way that we look at each other. I invite you to stand for our call to worship. You will see that there are words bolded, and those will be the words that you speak in response to my questions. Church, why are you here? I'm seeking God with my whole heart, with my entire mind, with a fire burning in my bones. I see it. You're in the right place. This is God's house, and the door is open to you. So I'll ask you again, church, why are you here? We see that in you. You're in the right place. This is God's house, and the door is open to you. And we all say, let us worship God. Let us learn from the Spirit. Let's sing. Amen.
Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come, all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. So loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. cross, his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, for God so loved the world. So bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, for God so loved the world.
That is a promise that we share when we know Christ, that he has received us as we are and will not let us go without his mark on our life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Heart and lead me in your love to those.
bridge one last time. I will build my life upon your love.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Even when I'm shaken, I will not be shaken, for you surround me. You are my firm foundation.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Question number one, what do you do with Irishman who doesn't wear green to church? Now, Vicki Brown said that she heard that if you're not wearing green, somebody can pinch you. So if you feel comfortable and you know the person and they're not wearing green, go ahead and pinch somebody.
Harvey.
The elders have spoken out with all the issues in our world today. You don't have permission or consent to pinch them unless they say you do. So first ask for consent to pinch, and if they give consent, then you can do so, right? All right. Respect.
The pastor has spoken. Thank you. Good morning. First of all, at my age, I've got to say something here, and you can applaud. This is right here. Is the future of our church, the kids. At 87, I can say they're kids. So kids, God bless all of you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So we read the call to worship. Why are you here? Why aren't you home? Why aren't you at the local bar that's passing out green beer? I'm here because when I leave this place, I'm on fire. I'm ready to go to a friend's house and say, hey, you missed a fantastic service. You missed a fantastic teaching. Yeah, teaching or sermon, whichever you want. I'm going to fall. Whichever you want to call it. That's wonderful. So I want to see a show of hands. How did you react with God or Jesus this whole weekend? So raise your hand and I will attempt to. I got my back to you. Oh, you got my chair.
Sit down, have them come to you.
Okay. You're going to come on over here. Come on. Thank you, Pastor.
What are we doing? Oh, wait, is it how we saw God?
Yeah.
So I was walking. Well, I had to pick up my little sister from school, and I was walking, it was like this big open field, which saw like the kids play like soccer on and stuff. And I was walking with one of my other friends. And then I look over and I see this like figure next to me. And then when I look, there's no one there. And then I talked to my mom about it. And she was like, it could have been an angel. And I don't know if it could have been an angel, but it might have been. So that was cool. Yay.
Oh, God bless. That's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Come. Yes.
I think it was Friday, and Abby Dupree is her and Ashley are part of the community here, and she texts and she's like, hey, I want to bring something to Carmel, some pies, and drop something off at your house. And is that okay? I'm like, oh, absolutely. And she's like, and while I'm there, can I do some dishes? Now, my dish pile is horrendous right now. I'm serious. On Friday, I think I had one spoon clean. Right, and I already went through the reserve pile as well that I'd had, so it was rather embarrassing, you know, like when you kind of see it in that way. And she's like, can I do a load? And I'm just like, half embarrassed, but also half like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Abby. And then she's like, also, I might just clean your bathroom too. And then I'm like, oh, crap. I'm a hairy man when I shave, and I don't think I'd cleaned up any whiskers. And I've got an 8-year-old who's about 50% accuracy when he uses the bathroom. And I hadn't cleaned that up either. And it's just like, okay, I mean, that, and Abby is just like, okay, I want to love your family. 87%. All right, so the ridiculousness of that, I mean, this is just, man, we don't make it without each other. We don't make it without each other. And man, did I experience Jesus' love. And just that little bit of wind in my chaos in our house, which is a total disaster zone, was just a breath of air. So I saw God's love in that beautifully.
That's great. Come on up, guys. I'm going to tell you a story, and you're going to get up, and at least one of you would come forward, because we all have a story, don't we? We all had a story in a relationship with God. Anyway, I'm on the city council at East Point. Used to be called East Detroit for your old timers. And Tuesday, we are going to have a very loud discussion about taking 9 Mile Road and reducing it from 5 lanes to 2 lanes. So I expect probably 150 or 200 people at the, we voted on it once, and I was on the side that said no, but there were 3 that said yes. So we have to go revisit it, because the state said that the diagram that we sent in wasn't acceptable. So whatever. But anyway, I'm feeling well. The only thing I've got now, and thank you, Pastor, for putting the chair up here. I still have dizzy spells, but I have a pacemaker. I have a pacemaker. It's way up here. I don't know why it's so high. Anyway, I have a pacemaker, and that's helping my heart really well. But without God giving me the grace and the sensible things to do that he tells me to do, the pacemaker wouldn't do any good anyway. But it's God that says, Harvey, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this, but where's your cane? And I say, God, I left it in a car. So anyway, anybody else? If not, Greg's going to come up here. Oh, you got something. Come on up. Oh, good. Thank you.
So this is like probably pretty simple, but it stood out to me. I work as a certified nursing assistant at the hospital, and I do this every day. I've been doing it for 15 years, but this one patient this week really touched me, because I felt so bad for him, but yet at the same time, I felt like it was great that I was there and could give him the proper care and compassion that he so needed. But this gentleman was at a nursing facility, and he was left completely neglected, to the point where when he got to the hospital with an infection from being left neglected, in the severity that it was, the hospital actually did make a call to, you know, the state in regards to that facility. But where I feel like I was called and helping in that way in my everyday job that I do, he really felt bad. He was like, oh my God, you're in this room every 20 minutes with me. I know you got multiple patients. Like, you probably hate me at this point. And I'm like, no, I don't hate you, not at all. Was it tough to be in his room every 20 minutes and still try to take care of all my other patients? Yes, it was. And there were a couple of moments where I had to say, Rose, okay, just breathe. You're just doing the best you can. You know, it's all right. You got this. Because I get anxious when I'm like, oh, I didn't get this done or that done or whatever, because I'm my own worst critic. But I feel like God called me to have him as a patient that day, because I'm afloat, so I just float around the hospital wherever I'm needed, because I knew that I had the compassion for him that he really needed. And I just had to keep reassuring him that this wasn't his fault, and that, you know, I'm really sorry he's in this situation, but at least I could help him that day, that shift.
Amen. Final call. Anybody else? Greg's going to come up here. Father, let's pray. Father, we humble ourselves to you, dear Father. We on our knees to say thank you for the things that you have done for us. And we ask that each person here is praying to you. Listen, God, help them out, whether it's something in finances or house or whatever. Lord, we pray for that. Amen. And I'm very happy, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce one of us swell guys. He's wearing green, so I don't have to pinch him.
You're not wearing green.
I know.
Can I pinch you?
No, well, we never decided where you're going to pinch me at, so we'll just leave that there.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Genesis. Happy St. Paddy's Day. My name is Greg, and if you fill out a physical green card, you can place it in the wooden box at the back of the sanctuary. This is also where you can place any offerings you have brought with you. And also in your pew, there's some QR codes if you want to do it all digitally. Genesis is fully funded by your faithful and generous giving and cannot function without your financial support. When you give to Genesis, you are funding a multitude of causes. You are funding the Warming Center that keeps our friends experiencing homelessness safe. You are funding Community Cafe to provide food for those in need. Your giving makes sure that the staff gets paid and this building stays lit and warm. So thank you. If you call Genesis your church home or even just a safe place to be on Sunday morning, we ask you to consider giving toward our vision to create spaces of belonging, help individuals identify and develop their calling, and taking action for the good of others. Easter's coming up. And so we have a Good Friday service that is 6:30 p.m. on Friday, March 29th. And we have a creative liturgy, which invites you to walk the way of sorrows to the cross, but through the eyes and experience of one of Jesus's closest disciples. As a nod to the Stations of the Cross, this service will highlight Peter's role in the crucifixion narrative. In this way, we follow Jesus to his death with Peter as our companion. By focusing on Peter, we imagine how we might have acted and behaved had we been there as one of Jesus' followers and friends. Also, for the Holy Week, we will have Stations of the Cross starting on March 24th. That's a Sunday. And so you can participate individually in Holy Week here at Genesis. So the Stations of the Cross began as a remembrance that pilgrims had when they were retracing Jesus's final steps in Jerusalem up the hill where he was crucified. Wanting to share that practice and experience with people who couldn't make the trip to Jerusalem, the church created local stations of meditation that became in itself a tradition. You can find this tradition on the inside of many churches still today. So we're going to have 12 stations out on Main Street in front of our building. Please plan to come and engage in this ancient tradition in retracing Jesus' final steps before his crucifixion. And so this experience will be in place for Holy Week, March 24th through 31st. And it's something you can do alone or with a group of friends or family. Each station will have a QR code with a guided meditation. That's all I have, but I think Bo has one.
We've just been trying to have a practice of giving a monthly giving update. And so a couple of things just, you know, of our culture when it comes to giving. The first thing is that we don't know who gives or who doesn't give as pastoral staff or elders. We don't keep track of who are the big givers or of that. So the only people who know are the people who deposit those things in. And so we think that's just a way to protect hearts and minds and souls for that. But with that, so each month we look at it with our projection and stuff. And so for the month of February, we track if somebody new for the first time gives. We just kind of let it know that somebody new gave. We don't know who they are, but we just know that somebody gave for the first time. So in February, we had 6 new people who gave for the first time. And so we just think that's kind of really awesome. So if that's you or you're new into the community, we're grateful. We're grateful for you for participating in that way. We think that shows a healthy sign of people seeing, believing, and participating in what we're doing and doing it financially. So thank you. In the month of February, we have a goal for our contributions, which we hit in the month of February, which is phenomenal. We met that goal. We surpassed it by a bit, which was super helpful. So that's 2 months in a row, because in January, we did the same. But the first 4 months of our year, we did not. So in the last two, we have caught up with what we had projected for that. So that is super good. But one thing that we've known over the first 4 or 5 months is that we have spent more than we anticipated. And that came up through some number of plumbing needs through the warming center, from health insurance being increased by about $12,000 more than we were expected, that went up in that. And then also some hourly staffing things that we were transitioning some roles and moving some things. So because of that, we're being very cautious with how we spend, and we're kind of reining some things back just to watch. One of the things that we want to do is just, if you're interested in having a way more precise inlook and greater detail to where we are financially as a church, to hear about that, we're going to give a 6-month update immediately following the service. So if you've got a little bit of time and you can stick around, that's going to happen in the office. Ben Regal, who's one of the elders, is going to kind of lead through that with a more in-depth look. So if you're interested in that as well, I'm sure we'll be sending some information just to get that into people's hands. So thank you so much. If you can stick around, you can. That will be immediately following at 11:30. That was the announcement that I was looking to make this morning. So.
Good morning, everyone. It's a leprechaun. After service today, our youth group, high school, middle school, will be having a super fun time doing a scavenger hunt. So if you're in high school or middle school, please stay after. I will still have this leprechaun costume on. We are having a Jimmy John's lunch, and you can come up with that. Jimmy John's lunch, and we'll see you there. Kids, you can go to wherever Rachel's leading you to. And wait, everyone can stand up. Heather has another song for us.
I don't know if I have a segue from that. I do invite you to stand. You know, we've been singing Come Thou Fount every week, just as a reminder and a connection for what we're speaking on in our teaching time. So as you sing it today, I pray that it would be both familiar to you and that one line or two, one word or two would stick out to you as something new today, something to kind of chew on. I always say I'm gonna marinate in that. I pray today that this would be sung with fresh throats and heard with fresh ears, that it would be meaningful to you. Let's sing Come Thou Fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the want. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay. Good morning. My name is Kristen. Friends, when you study Peter, when you study Peter's story in Scripture, it's almost impossible to ignore how much he loved to ask questions. He asks Jesus, "What does the parable mean? Where are you going? How many times should we forgive?" Like a tenacious toddler, Peter was full of questions because Peter was eager to learn. I wish I was more like that. I still have so much to learn. So friends, let's be like Peter. Let's return to Christ with the humility of a student as we pray together the prayer of confession. Let this be a moment of learning. Let us pray. Holy God,
we long to be lifelong learners.
We long to approach you with curiosity and an open mind. Instead, we often live as if we know best. We forget that the disciples called you rabbi, teacher. Forgive us for the times when we fail to be curious. Forgive us for the times when we assume we know best. Forgive us for the moments we imagine that our learning is done and that we have all the answers. Like Peter, who was brave enough to ask, "How many times should we forgive?" Make us brave. Spark a desire in us to learn. And may our curiosity carry our faith into deeper waters. With hope and humility, we pray. Amen. Family of faith. When Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive?" Jesus responded with abundance. That abundance exists for you as well. No matter what you have done or left undone, no matter what lessons you have learned or are still learning, God's abundant grace exists for you. God's love will never run out. So hear and rest in this good news. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are invited to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may know this next song, you may not. I invite you just to stay seated. If you want to, you can stand if you feel moved, but it's a song of reflection.
Steadfast, O God, and I won't be led astray by the things that quickly will fade before your face. Oh, and I will follow you. I'm wrapped up. One thing here. and to seek your goodness. Take me by the hand and lead me, and I will follow. I'm wrapped up in you. I belong to you. And I will follow you. I'm wrapped up in you. I belong to you. And I have decided, and I have resolved, I would go anywhere, anywhere, just to see your face. And I have decided, and I have resolved, that I will go anywhere, 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 just to see your face. So afraid, but I rest in the promises made that you will remain forever faithful, and I will follow you. I'm wrapped up in you. I belong to you.
Okay, mute's up. There we go, there we go. Okay. Okay. I don't know if that means low battery or... Thank you.
There we go.
Happy birthday. Jesus. Well, good morning again. Welcome. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Learning begins with questions so often. A really good question that you're asking or that's being asked of you. But questions are what often inspire us and move us. And so today, the thing that I want to propose or maybe even ask you, what's the question that you're asking today? What's the question that you're asking God? Or what's the question that you need to ask? Or what's the questions that's being asked of you? But what's the question that you're asking? As we look into relationships, and even the relationship that Peter had with Jesus, it was one of a rabbi, which is a teacher, and the one of a student, where questions are asked. And today, in the text we're looking at, Peter asks a question. And he asks a question about forgiveness. And I think it's beautiful, and it leads us into greater depth because of the question. But the spot where my heart and mind and even room for all of us is maybe to even pull even further back and ask that question. What is the question that you need to ask? And so maybe it will relate to forgiveness or unforgiveness or healing, but maybe it will be in some other total direction. But may you be able to answer it and then have the courage to ask it today. As we said, the text that we're going to look at is in Matthew 18, and it's centered around these ideas of forgiveness. And all of us have so much to learn when it comes to relationships that have been hurt or we've hurt people, extending forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, so much to learn. It was Wednesday morning this week when I was so mad in my house in the morning for everyone complaining and grumbling, and I think somebody was crying because they didn't want to take off the sweatshirt they wore for the last 2 days, and that people didn't want to go to school, that I stopped, in my anger, there was a purple balloon laying right there, and I went and I just stomped on it in front of everybody. And it was the biggest pop. It was amazing. It was like so dramatic, but also incredibly pathetic to pop a balloon. And at the end of that day, I blew up 5 more balloons and put them in the car as a way of saying sorry. Interesting enough, Petey and I were really good friends. We were talking about it on the ride. It was like 3 weeks ago. We got so mad at each other in a fight in the waiting room of an emergency room. Him mad at me and upset with me that I had hurt him. I'm mad at him and upset with him that he had hurt me. And after a few days, it subsided, and we talked the next day. But as we chatted this morning, it was the story of like, hey, did you forgive me? And nothing was spoken. I was like, did you forgive me for that? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I forgave you too. It's like just what it was. We all have these stories, and it comes up almost every day probably for many of us. But so often they lead us with the opportunity to ask more probing questions connected to them all. So as we look at this story that's left for us in the Gospel of Matthew, may it drive us into further questions that we would ask God. Yesterday, a few of us spent some time just listening. There were eight of us that met here, just looking over our lives and asking questions of God. And I believe that everyone showed up, heard the whisper of God speaking in the moments of their questions. Our God is near and speaks. So let's read together. Or feel free to read with me. The scripture will be up there. This is Matthew 18, verses 15 to 22. And it says this: if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take the case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whether you forbid, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Other texts say 77 times. This is the story we have. Conflict is complex. It is nuanced. It is complicated. We all hurt each other. When we are going through our series on repentance and repair, we are like, we are all cause harm, we are all harmed, and we are all bystanders of harm. Conflict is complex. We hurt each other. But forgiveness is how we maintain connection and community when it gets hard. And without it, we can't maintain community or connection. In this story, as I talk, and Jesus is laying out this pattern for conflict, and it seems like, okay, here's the pattern. Somebody hurts you, does wrong to you, go to them in private. If they've listened, you've won. If they don't listen, take two or three others with you. If they've listened to you, then you won. If they don't listen to you, take the whole church. If they don't listen to you, then treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. It almost seems like a mathematical equation. Here's one. If it doesn't work and you didn't win, take two or three. But this story is not about math, nor is it about a formula. Nor is it about just doing it right. Here's the right way to engage in every conflict, in every way. This is not a mathematical formula to win. But it is about maintaining connection and community when it gets hard. It is about love. When I read this story, I see these overarching needs that we all have. And when Jesus is encouraging us in conflict, we need courage. The courage to go to somebody who has hurt us and say, "Ah, oh, you hurt me." We need courage to be in conversation with each other, being vulnerable about hurts. And not only this, Matthew 18 says, we need each other and community to help us in this. Have a few people help you. Not as a formula, but we need each other. Have them go with you. They'll help in the conversation, hopefully. Take your community with you. They'll help. We need each other and community. But also this story says, we need boundaries. That's what I hear when it says, well, treat them this way then. There's times when you need boundaries in the relationships that we have.
that have been harmful, with no resolution in sight, with no learning in sight, and the same patterns being happening again and again, we need boundaries. And we also need Jesus among us in all of this. When Jesus says, hey, when two or three are gathered, I'm there with you. And Jesus is saying that in the midst of conflict. As he's laying this out for his disciples, saying, you need to know, you're going to have conflict. We need Jesus with us there among us. When I read through this story, there's this sense when Jesus is then answering Peter's question and saying, our disposition should be to loose people, not to bind them. Our disposition should be to set them free, not to burden them. When Jesus had that whole teaching there, when he said that what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, what you bind will be bound. And the other big learning from this test is that we can ask Jesus questions. This is how we learn. And so Peter asked the question, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? If Peter were here, I would want to ask some more questions. Peter, where's this question coming from? Do you already have someone in mind? You know, like, is there somebody who's already sinned against you 5 times today? Are you talking about one of the other disciples? Because, I mean, this is, we're talking about someone who wrongs you again and again and again and again. Or is he talking about his wife? We don't know. What's the context of this question? That's the question for Peter. But that's where our questions always reveal something. What's the question he's asking? Hey, how many times should we forgive? That's a great question. It's so good. But there's a context to it. There's a story behind it. Just in the same for the question that you might need to ask, there's a story behind it. What's the story? But Peter throws out the answer. He says, oh, 7? Any of you guys who have been like in church for a while or in religious communities, have you heard like information about the number 7? The perfect number. You know, right? So, I mean, Peter's not like lowering the bar. He's like, I mean, it must be 7. That's the perfect number. And people say that because the 7 days God created creation and all these things. Is 7 the perfect number? I don't know, right? No. But it's the perfect, it's known as the perfect number. So Peter gives this answer. How many times should I forgive? 7? And then Jesus responds, oh, no. 77 times. Or 70 times 7, that there's disagreement. So here's my question for that. Does it matter, the number? What do you think? Does the exact logical number matter? Does the precision of that number matter? What is Jesus saying? No, oh no, 77 is the number. Once you've hit that, you can move on. No. He is saying that our disposition should be to forgive. Our disposition should be to set loose, to forgive people. It should be more. I was reading an article by Dr. Shaniqua Barner, or Walker Barnes, who's a scholar, theologian, and clinical psychologist. And she says, forgiveness is the inner work that we do to release the hostility we feel towards a person whom we perceive as having wronged us. Forgiveness is a process that can take time, even when we desire to forgive. So our desire, our disposition can be to forgive, but yet we can realize that we haven't. It can take time. Everett Worthington is another counseling psychologist whose work focuses on forgiveness and reconciliation. And what I found really helpful is he distinguishes two types of forgiveness. He says there's a decisional forgiveness And then there's emotional forgiveness. Decisional forgiveness is a cognitive process. It occurs, like the title says, when we decide to forgive a person. I've decided to forgive them. We made a decision. It's our disposition. Decisional forgiveness is aspirational. Because it doesn't mean it's actually fully happened, because forgiveness is more than a decision. But that's an aspect of it. And a decision, it expresses an intention or commitment that may not be realized yet. That's decisional forgiveness. Then there's emotional forgiveness. And emotional forgiveness, in contrast, is a longer process. That one, and one that is not always under our conscious control. It occurs when our negative feelings toward the offender about the offense are eliminated, either completely or mostly. We can recall the event without experiencing the negative feelings toward the person. What's so interesting about forgiveness is that you're never quite sure. And all of a sudden, in a moment, you can realize emotionally, I'm still carrying hostility towards events that somebody did to me. Even though I maybe made the decision a number of times to say, I've forgiven them, or my decision has to do that. But emotionally, there's still trauma. There's still work to be done. There's still processing, and it hasn't happened yet. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom who talked about forgiveness being like a wrecking ball that you swing, and you choose, when forgiveness happens toward the hostility, you're choosing to take your hand off of the wrecking ball. But it's still swinging, you know? And boy, and maybe you've chosen to take your hand off, but maybe you grab a hold of it one more time and take another swing at it. And it takes some time for it to stop. I found those helpful, that this idea of forgiveness is more nuanced than just doing it and forgetting it. There's trauma involved, and there's things within us that are involved in our memory and our consciousness. And the emotional forgiveness leads to many more questions that need to be asked. And mostly these are for the persons who have been harmed. There was, I had an experience a few years ago, and I was meeting with someone. Actually, Nate and I got called to meet with somebody. And they just had great questions about the church, and they're asking questions. And then they asked a question of me about the way I pray. And they were like, hey, I noticed, you know, you don't pray this, you know, your prayers are different. They're weird. I took it as, you're not praying right. Because there's, you know, the Bible mentions all kinds of stuff about prayer. And they said that. And I'm like, oh, I mean, the Bible says tons of things about prayer. And so I don't believe that prayer is a formula or like a thing that you rewrote thing. We say the same words every time and all this. So, but as I left that conversation, it bothered me, that comment. And I found that when I would pray in our gatherings, I continued to think about that person, right? Like it had that residue. Now, I don't think it was that person's fault, but there was like an accusation. There was something emotionally going on in me because I took their comment as critique and like, you're not doing this right. You could do this right. And so there was a little bit of accusation that got under this for me. And so I thought, you know what? I should go to him and let him know that hurt me. I'm thinking that seems to be a good thing. And you know what? And looking back, I don't know if that was the right move or not. I don't know. I think really, if I had just been inquisitive and I asked, why does that bother me? It really had nothing to do with that, what that person said. It had nothing to do with them. It had something to do with an accusation. I think it had something to do with what was happening in me and something that had happened to me in the past. And this was just another little sting, but it had more weight than it deserved. Well, I went to him and I said, hey, that really messed with me, you know, and every time I pray, I think about you, and I feel that's caused me to stumble a little bit.
How do you like that? He didn't like that. And within 24 hours, wrote a letter to the church saying, I'm no longer going here. And so I was like, ugh, okay. Maybe that wasn't the right move. Right? The conflict is hard. And I don't say that to shame. It's like, I don't know if that was the right move of me to go to him. Because I think there was a question I needed to be asking that was different than, hey, that hurt me. But I also think there was an opportunity for him to kind of know, oh, this isn't about that. This is about something else. I'm really curious. Why does that bother you so much? No big deal. I didn't mean it that way, right? Like, there's an opportunity to encourage us to ask questions within the midst of these hurts, to be curious about what's underneath this. And for me, it was like this idea of, I want to do it right. I'm not. You know that, right? Is anybody under the illusion that I am doing it right? You're wrong. there is no like right, no formula, no pattern to it. But yet there's this opportunity in our questions and in these wounds for Jesus to speak. For connection not to be broken. For relationships to go on. And it's okay. When we think about the emotional forgiveness and the questions we need to be asking, I was reading Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes, and she says there's a couple indicator lights. I have a friend who always talks about the dashboard lights of our heart. And these are two dashboard lights when it comes to potential emotional forgiveness that might need to take place. The first one is the word rumination. Y'all know what rumination is. This is where you continue to be thinking again and again and again and again about the scenario. That's probably really natural for a couple of days. That's normal. But if it keeps going, it's an indicator. Rumination is the tendency to replay and rehearse negative experiences. And the reality is that the research on rumination is really interesting. It indicates that it produces negative emotions, including fear, anger, anxiety, and unforgiveness. Like it benefits nobody, especially yourself if you're a ruminator. These in turn impact memory and thoughts, including how we perceive and appraise threats and harm. And you know what that was so interesting that Dr. Walker Barnes said? They said that some of the people who are the most susceptible to this are introverts because of their internal processing and how strong it is. She said the other one that's a dashboard light is vengefulness, which is just in contrast, it's for extroverts. Extroverts had the clear warning on this. They're more likely to lean towards vengefulness, which is the desire to take revenge. So rumination, it just keeps on going through your brain again and again and again, the whole scenario again and again. Vengefulness, the desire to get back. So who are the, who would say they're extroverts in the room? Raise your hand high. Be like, okay. All right. Be cautious, guys. They're the vengeful ones. All right. Who are the introverts? Raise your hands high. Okay. The ruminators. Who of you say, oh my gosh, don't put me into a box. I'm kind of both. Okay. That's me too. We are the worst because we're gifted at both then. Right? We're the dirtiest of them all. These are indicators that there's like our dashboard indicators of the process that we need healing. They're dashboard indicators that we're still in process. That we need more time for healing. And that we may need support and help. The support and help of community to talk to, or therapist to talk to process, to help us get underneath, to say, what is the question I need to be asking? What's really going on here for the learning to really take place? I am incredibly gifted at vengefulness. I create all sorts of incredible stories in my brain. I've always been gifted imagination. And I'm always a very, very good mixed martial arts fighter. Within these stories, it's pathetic. So then, how do we get to forgiveness? Sometimes time alone is enough. Sometimes reaching emotional forgiveness requires intentional effort, including our own healing and recovery work, support and counseling and therapy, and that work, especially when the offenses are deep and traumatic. What's beautiful about these questions and about this encouragement of Jesus is that we say it is important to strive to cultivate forgiveness while at the same time allowing the process to take its time, to know that it's not as simple as you were told to forgive, just let it go. Neurologically, emotionally, we can't. We're much more complex than that. And it takes healing and time and grace and kindness, exploration, and the Holy Spirit. If all we can do is desire to decide to forgive, to have a desire to decide, to the decisional one, to have a desire to decide to forgive, then we should accept that and allow the time to play out with God's help and the help of each other. When it comes to this question of how often we should forgive, and a couple of these indicators that we put in there, the reality and what the couple layers of forgiveness, one other thing that really helps us in our view, in our ideas of forgiveness, is our view of God. So here's a question, and maybe it's the one you should ask. What is your view of God in relation to forgiveness? What picture of God do you have? Is it clear? Is it murky? Is it nuanced? Is it gray? If we tend to primarily view God as merciful and forgiving toward all, we are more likely to aspire to embody forgiveness towards others. But if we primarily view God as vengeful and punishing, we're more likely to be prone towards grudge holding and unforgiveness. And for many of us, our view of God is conflicted. We have ideas of God that might connect to both of those things. My next question is, does the picture of God, of your view of God in relation to forgiveness, become more clear with Jesus as the perfect reflection of God? Does that offer any amount of just breath? For me, it does. Which is what the writers in the scriptures have left for us. Jesus is the perfect reflection of the Father. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. So Jesus, how did Jesus respond when it came up to things of forgiveness? For me, one of the anchoring realities that is etched in my soul in this season of my life is that picture of Jesus who is being crucified in the most absurd turn of events, in the most shameful way, and him saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that declaration that Jesus spoke out loud, of the few words he could muster on the cross, that was accounted for by those who saw the life of Jesus and wrote down, I think are pivotal in all of our lives for understanding what does God look like in the demonstration of the love of God, which was Jesus Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do before they've even asked, before they're even aware of it, as they're still ignorant. How often does Jesus forgive? 7 times? 77 times? 490 times? Or is it just the nature of God to forgive? That is his disposition. So today, here's my thought for you. As you put there, what's the conversation? What's the question that you need to ask? What's the question you've been asking? What's the thought? What's the invitation for Jesus to step in and to answer and to speak in to where you are? What's the relationship and the healing that God longs to do? Not the formula of doing the thing right, but the opportunity to learn, to be shaped, to experience healing, for us to know ourselves and the wounds of ourselves better, and for us to know God better. What's your question that you're asking or need to ask, or that Jesus is asking of you? So, Father, we pray that for my friends, that we would have courage, that you would give us creativity to know a question. And let us hear your invitation to bring it to you, that you delight in being with us. You love our questions. You're good with them. You're kind with them. Can we suspend our judgment of being afraid we're going to hear nothing? We praise you for this account of a story where you teach and give instructions, but you also encourage one of your followers through questions. Thank you, the God who answers our questions. So may we be drawn closer to you, we pray. Amen. One of our patterns that we have is we do some form of communion every Sunday. We think it's a beautiful reminder that we've been welcomed by God. We're being fed by God. That God welcomes us and wants our company. There is nothing that hinders God from wanting our company. There's nothing that distances God from this. And the reminder that gives us that kind of, assurance, or that kind of, that we take a breath to say, I know this is true, is saying, oh, my love looks like my self-giving love of on the cross. Nothing, I withhold nothing from you. Come, be with me. Nothing hinders me from loving you. So we think there's something beautiful and good about physically being reminded of Jesus' body that's broken for us, and drinking juice is reminded of Jesus' blood that was shed for us, all as a demonstration of his love, a reminder of his forgiveness, and Jesus' position and disposition to forgive us. And that we might also be filled with Jesus' life to live that as well. So what we've got here, Derek Crawford, I want to thank you. He's, since the beginning of the year, he said, I'm gonna bake a loaf of bread every week. And I was like, Derek, would you bake bread for us? And he made these beautiful challah loaves. Oh, man, these are gorgeous. He made them this morning. I love it when people just use their passions and like, oh, yeah, I'd love to make bread for the church. And so this is beautiful for that. We're going to come. We're going to tear this. But today, typically, we like to have 4 people to give it, right? To extend, to offer, to extend welcome to us as a body, and to offer the gifts of Jesus, to offer these elements of Jesus to the entire community. And so I want to kind of put it out there. Is there anybody who would like to be a servant of that today and offer that? Trent, Pete, and I saw a hand there in the back. Come on up. Is that you, Jesse? Oh, Jesse, I would love that. And is there one more who would love to be? Alex, you were raising your hand. You point to somebody else who put their hand up. Dan, you would too? Thank you for being willing. This is the body of Christ broken for us. I'll hand one to one side. And then we'll take this. If you want, and then we need one other person. Oh, Jesse, you're coming up. And here's the juice. We have two sections for each side. In the story, when Jesus is telling them, oh, Jesse, they're going to come up and receive it. You're wonderful. Yeah, you can just stand here. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, where two or more are gathered, I'm there among you. And Jesus is among us. And so if you want something to say as they receive it, may we offer that proclamation. Jesus is among you. Jesus is among you. And so if you're carrying a whole bunch of healing that still needs to take place, Jesus is among you. If you're struggling to even make a decision to forgive or have emotional forgiveness, Jesus is among you. If you have some hard questions and you're scared to ask them, Jesus is among you. Boy, that's the good news today. Jesus is among us. So we offer the invitation to come and to eat. And so we're gonna go on to the side aisles this way. So if you're on this side, come up this way for Jesse and Dan. On this side with Trent and Pete. And we've got a gluten option here in the middle if you want to take it. Once you've received it, eat. Take it and eat. And Heather's going to lead us in a song of worship as we do.
This will be my hymn of surrender. This will be my prayer to you, to move beyond just holy intentions and let my life be spent on you. No compromise, I won't give you. Just half my life. If it's all or nothing, let it all be for Jesus. Let it all be for Jesus. There's a cross you call me to carry, denying myself and follow you. And as I run for you in your kingdom, I'll lose my life but never lose. For less of me is more of you. Just half my life. If it's all or nothing, let it all be for Jesus. Let it all be for Jesus. This will be my hymn of surrender. give you just half my life. If it's all or nothing, let it all be, let it all be for Jesus. Let it all be, let it all be for Jesus. Let it all be, let it all be for Jesus.
Dang, Heather. She pulled out the beautiful songs, my word. Oh. So, Lord Jesus, all of your goodness, thank you that you don't withhold. As brothers and sisters in here, Lord, we know we need you. And we hear your words that you are among us. Would you strengthen us for the journeys ahead? We breathe in your life. We pray that your kingdom come, your rule expand, your forgiveness spread to every nook and cranny, your healing, God, take place to bring resurrection, restoration, and transformation. Thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you guys. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday for the liturgical pattern. There is our mid-year budget review. That's going to be in the office, which is kind of right around the corner by a door over there. You see the office door? There's more room in there. So if you want to stick around, I think it's going to last 30 minutes. It's meant to start, you know, just in here in about 10 minutes, and it'll last until 12 if you can stay. God bless you. Have a great, great Sunday. Oh, Derek Crawford, who's awesome, I was like, hey, we only need one loaf. He's like, but two are better. And so two are better than one. It's biblical. And we've got an extra beautiful loaf of challah. So it is open. I mean, I'll take it if nobody grabs it, but okay, well, here we go. So if you would be blessed by a loaf of bread today, and that was delicious, or the more of the scraps that are left here, please come and receive.
Hallelujah, amen.